The following is a recording for Manuel Perez of IR Strat on Thursday, October 26, 2017, at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is the Crédito Real third quarter 2017 conference call. Good morning and welcome everyone to the Crédito Real third quarter 2017 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, October 25, 2017. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to in this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, Mr. Angel Romana, CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the third quarter 2017. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Romana.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for your valuable participation. I am pleased to inform you that our results for the third quarter of 2017 continue consolidating the positive trend of our operational improvement throughout the year, as we have been able to benefit from the macroeconomic stability of the markets where we operate, mostly from Mexico. In this context, net income of the period totaled $403 million, 7% above that in the same quarter of last year in a comparable basis, isolated from non-recurrent items. This enhancement in our profitability was supported by our solid underlying fundamentals as our best-in-class NPL, which closed the quarter at 2.3% level, recording no impact from the recent earthquakes in Mexico, as the delinquency rate level in the states affected remained almost unchanged. It is important to mention that good results follow a success attained by the continuous addition of high-quality assets, which allow us to grow with stability and profitability at the same time. Breaking down results by business segments, payroll registered to $1.4 billion credit origination, growing at a solid 26% annual rate, while Instacredit maintained its consolidation path and continue delivering robust rates of growth. In contrast, car segment registered a $431 million origination, decelerating its growth trend as a result of Hurricane Harvey effects in Texas and Florida, where Doncarro and AFS have a significant presence. Although, as soon as the next quarter, we expect a normalized operation in this segment as a considerable number of motor cars need to be replaced from irreparable damage due to the Harvey earthquake, to the Harvey hurricane. In the aftermath, at a consolidated level, the credit origination of Crédito Real amounted to 4.6 billion pesos. On the funding front, the cost of financing increased in an annual basis of 160 basis points. That is way below than the interbank interest rate has increased. This incremental cost was offset by both higher operational efficiencies and a comprehensive credit origination, as the rate terms of new loans is continuously adjusted to a rising reference rate. Now, elaborating on the recent developments, we executed the issue of 3 emissions of local notes under our dual placement program, jointly amounted for 700 million pesos, with a solid oversubscription of 1.3 times. A portion of these proceeds were used for the full amortization of local notes issued on March 2017 for 250 million pesos. In risk management-wise, at quarter end, we were covered on both interest and exchange rate fluctuations, as the fixed rate portion of our debt surpasses the 50% mark and our dollar position exposure is 100% hedged, bringing certainty and stability to our operations. Wrapping up, we moved forward towards year-end with a strengthened business platform that has proven solid resiliency to prosper even in choppy waters. Meanwhile, caveats on Insta Credit are continuously leaving behind, now receiving positive feedback from investors who were hesitating at the beginning. A strong signal that we are doing right and a solid stimulus to further benefit from our best-in-class business platform, which has clearly succeeded with the InstaCredit consolidation. On another note, I would like to express my gratitude to Mr. Wilfrido Castillo for his valuable work and dedication as a board member of Credito Real over all these years. Also wishing him the best of luck in his future endeavors. To conclude, with solid grounds in our operational metrics and good results in hand, we will continue striving to enhance our business platform and commercial footprint, seeking to increase profitability in a framework of strong risk controls and balance sheet preservation. With this, I want to thank you again and leave a call with Carlos Ochoa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Credito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding interest income, during this quarter, we reached interest income of $2.1 billion, increasing almost 13% compared to 3Q16. This increase was mainly due to the growth in the loan portfolio, supported mainly by payroll, which contributed 62% to the consolidated net interest income. Regarding expenses, average cost of funds raised to 11.2%, an increase of 160 bps when compared to the 9.6% in the 3Q16. This increase is explained by an increase in Mexican reference rate. The financial margin increased 10.7% to $1.4 billion, driven by interest income growth. Therefore, the net interest margin achieved 21.5% in the 3Q17. Thus, our international businesses contributed 38% to the consolidated financial margin. Provisions for loan losses reached $355 million during this quarter. The increase is mainly due to some payment delay in the payroll business associated to September's earthquake in Mexico and provisions adjustments made in InstaCredit. Cost of risk during this quarter was 5.2% compared to the 5% in the third quarter 16, as a result of the increase in the provisions for loan losses line. However, due to the recovery of the charge-off account, which totaled $76.2 million, the provision line would have decreased to $278.7 million. Therefore, the cost of risk would have been 4.2%. Commissions and fees collected increased 35% during 3Q17 to $186.8 million compared to the 3Q16, integrated by $121 million commissions collected from Resuelve and $65.4 million from InstaCredit. Administrative expenses reached $806 million during the third quarter of 17, showing up 0.1% increase when compared with the $805 million we saw in the third quarter of 16. As of the third quarter of 17, net income reached $403 million, showing an increase of 7% over the 3Q17 year over year. This keeps us on track for our 2017 guidance. Regarding key financial ratios, ROE reached 17.5% during the quarter, with ROA reached 4.6%. The quarter's efficiency ratio increased to 49% compared to the 48.2% in the 3Q16. Since the 4Q16 quarter, the efficiency ratio calculation excludes Resuelve, since this business does not involve credit risk. This quarter, the cost of risk was 5.2% compared to the 5% in the 3Q16 as a result of the increase in the provisions for loan losses line. Regarding our loan portfolio, it increased by 17.1% to $26.7 billion at the end of the third quarter of 2017. driven by the double-digit growth in the payroll, SMEs, and InstaCredit. Our payroll portfolio increased by 22.8% to $17.6 billion, supported by the pensioner segment, which represented 31% of the total payroll origination during the quarter. Almost 87% of payroll loans originated during the quarter, derived from our three main distributors in which we own equity. In addition, very important to remark that the NPL decreased to 1.5% in the third Q of 17 from a 2.4% in the third Q of 16. Our SMEs portfolio increased by 22.1% year over year, totaling $1.7 billion as of our third Q 17. We extended both the average loan term and average loan amount, striving to focus on larger accounts. Our used car portfolio slightly decreased 2.1% year over year, reaching $2.5 billion at the end of the third quarter of 17, while the origination amounted $430 million in the quarter. InstaCredit's loan portfolio reached 4.2 billion pesos, showing an increase of 17% year over year and representing 16% of the total loan portfolio with an NPL of 5.4%. The line others is integrated by durable goods and group loan businesses, which both registered a loan portfolio worth of $576 million during the quarter, decreasing 30.5%, driven by the divestment in durable goods. Moreover, the origination reached $1.3 million, increasing 25.7% year over year, driven by group loans. This quarter, the consolidated non-performing loan portfolio was 2.3% compared to the 2.5% last year. The NPL improved mainly in payroll and used car businesses, still in line with a 2 to 3% long-term objective as we move forward with greater loan portfolio diversification. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key, that is star one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach the equipment. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Benjamin Thurr from Barclays.
Hey, good morning, Angel. Good morning, Carlos. So first of all, congratulations on the results. Now, just wanted to follow up on the provision line, provision for loan losses. So clearly you mentioned that there was an increase post the earthquake delays, and that all makes sense. But just to get a better feeling, I mean, now at about $355 million, and it was more on average around about $300 million in the first half on each quarter, is that something? What's the level of recovery we should expect here to see for the quarterly figure into 4Q? Have you seen those payments coming in now about 6 weeks after? Just to get a little bit of a sense of where we're heading to for the rest of the year, and then obviously into 2018, would you think this is going to be a sustainable level going forward? Thanks.
Hi, Ben. Well, in that sense, the way we see things and the way we expect is that to have a cost of risk, a total cost of risk around the 4.5%, and that net out of the, you know, other income from the operation, meaning the collections that we get from the charge of accounts. This quarter was unusual in two ways. The first one was, as we mentioned already, you know, the delays in some government agencies caused by the, you know, the week that they didn't work. But that money was, those payments were already recovered in the first couple of weeks of this month of October. And on the other hand, what we have is in the case of InstaCredit, the NPLs have been increasing over the last couple of quarters, but however, that portfolio is contained within the, as an NPL, so we haven't been charging off those accounts. We're making a lot of efforts in place in the Central America in order to contain the portfolio And I'm positive that the provision line will be in line with what we have seen in the past, which were those $300 million that you mentioned, more or less.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions. First, on your loan growth, you saw very good loan growth, particularly in payroll loans. I guess just want to understand a little bit more what's driving that growth. Is it sustainable to continue to grow at the 20-plus percent that you're growing in payroll loans, or what's a more normalized level that we should expect? Second question is your margins. I also saw a good movement in your margin. Funding costs seem to have stabilized, higher yield on your loans. Is there room for any more margin expansion? Is this kind of what we should expect going forward? If you could give some color on that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Tito. Thanks for your questions. First, regarding the payroll business, and what we've seen is that we expect that dynamic to continue at least for the remaining of the year. And what we've seen this quarter as well is that we are confident that that trend should continue for the remaining of the year. So the way we are doing it is that the commercial efforts that we've been, that the distributors have been doing over the last few months is to increase the penetration in the government agencies we work with, and that's proven to be successful, as you can see from the growth rates. So yes, we believe that this trend should continue for the next few quarters. When it comes to the financial margin, I mean, at least if you see the trend that TIIE has followed here in Mexico, year over year, the TIIE here has increased by 230 basis. In the case of our cost of funds, the increase was only 160 basis. This is mainly explained because, as you remember, during the first quarter, we started fixing a portion of our debt. So we believe that in this scenario, where we believe that the interest rate hike cycle has come to an end in Mexico, or at least it should be, we wouldn't expect an increase as dramatic as we've seen. We believe that the net interest margin should be around the 22%, 21.5%, 22%.
Great. Thanks, Carlos. That's helpful. And maybe one follow-up then, in terms of, given the trends that you're seeing with loans, growing better than expected, good margins, you mentioned on the previous question from Ben that provision should come down next quarter. So do you think that there's some upside risk to your net income guidance, given what you may expect in the fourth quarter?
No, I mean, right now we feel confident that that the trends that we are seeing, both in terms of growth and in terms of net income, could continue to the end of the year. So that's basically our reading. I mean, we feel very confident, about the top of the P&L. If you get to see the income, the way the income is growing, and the way the financial margin is growing, and the way that we are containing the SG&A line, I mean, we believe that once that we get to fix the provision lines, which is done, which should be done over the next few weeks, the trends that we've seen could continue by the year end.
Right, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I was referring to. Given the trends we're seeing, you could probably surpass the 5% earnings growth that you had guided for. Is that reasonable to think that it could be higher than that?
Hopefully it is.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you once again. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Alejandro Arup from Bank of America.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Just a couple questions, please. Just going back on the debt of the company, you mentioned on the call that the dollar debt is now 100% hedged. This is both the coupon payments and the principal payments. Just checking on that.
That is correct. Except for $75 million of the last senior note issuance, last year's senior note issuance, which were completely devoted to our operations in the States. Everything is for the rest of the senior notes as well as the 2019. They are fully hedged with a full cross-currency swap.
Okay, and just updating on the fixed cost of debt, I think you reached the 53%, and this is the level that you want to, I mean, when we look at your derivatives position, you have, you know, fixed cost debt of 53% of total, and that you're going to keep it at this level going forward.
Yes, we feel comfortable that way.
And also, you have the 2019 bonds. There's a call coming up, I think, in next month in November, the end of November. Any intention to exercising that call?
We are still deciding what's going to be the best strategy to follow on that one.
Okay, and then just my final question, if I may. I also just want an update on the Maestro option. I think you have until the end of this year to exercise that. Is negotiations ongoing, and can we expect anything until the end of the year?
I mean, right now the focus is we are focusing more on the, you know, on the commercial part of the business, you know, on reaching the same growth rate that we've been experiencing. And at the same time, we keep talking with the Crédito Maestro top management. I mean, we have a very profitable association with them as it is now. And but who knows? I mean, it will depend on the benefits that we could achieve on both sides.
And then, do they have a put option also, right? Is it this year, next year?
Yes, it's correct. They have a put option for next year.
Is it throughout the year? Is there an expiry date? And is there any event throughout 2018?
That is correct.
And is there a value assigned to that?
No. I mean, no, we haven't decided that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
As a final reminder, please press star 1 at this time for any questions. Again, that is star 1 at this time for any questions. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gallibruno from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, and thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of questions. The first one is in terms of your expectations on net income and ROE for the year end. I just want to know if you see at the end of the year a normalization of the provisions, taking into consideration the payment in payroll loans, if you are thinking to achieve your guidance. And my second question is related to the used car loan business. We have seen some noises regarding to what is happening with the U.S. So you just want to know if we have already saw the difficult part about this, and if you expect this to trend up at some point. Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Well, basically regarding the ROE, we believe is that we continue the same trends that we've been seeing for these three quarters. We should be around the 18 or the 19% ROE, probably, you know, between those two. I mean, what we are definitely sure is that the provision line should normalize over this fourth quarter. Given all the efforts that we are taking in order to contain the NPLs in the InstaCredit business, and also knowing that the government agencies that caused the delay in the payroll payments from some specific government agencies have already solved that one. So our view in terms of ROE is that we should be something in line between the 18 and the 19% for year end. And On the other hand, regarding your questions about the used car business, specifically in the States, you know, the thing that we consider that has been affecting us the most is the, you know, the changes in the political landscape over there in the States, more than the general markets, you know, the depression of the used car prices and things like that. You know, right now, what we are experiencing is some challenges in the commercial side of the business, given that, you know, the specific segment of the population that we are targeting has become more cautious. That's our perception, that the specific segment that we are commercially targeting have become more cautious given the, you know, given the political landscape and the regulatory framework that they are experiencing. I would wrap that up by saying that we are very confident about our foreign businesses on both of them, specifically in the case of the used car business in the States, is definitely become one of the major parts of our book within a few years, and we are just, you know, we are just coping with, you know, what we expect, our temporary challenges.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Natalia Kornfeld from J.P. Morgan.
Hey, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. It is related to your derivatives position. You had a gain in this quarter of $126.4 million, and it's written in the press release that this is a result of and valuations of the derivative positions. I'd like to know exactly what these are, and also you had previously in your asset side a big derivative portion that I believe was related to the hedge of your bonds, but it decreased in the past quarter and is no longer there this quarter. So I'm wondering if this is related to the appreciation of the currency. If you could give any color on that, it would be also very much appreciated. Thank you.
Hi, Natalia. Definitely, that has everything to do with the FX. If you look at the FX rate, specifically for the third Q, at the end of the third Q of 16, that was in the neighborhood of 1940 per dollar. As it is today, at the end of this quarter, it was pretty much in the 1820 or something. So that valuation was what caused most of the changes in these two lines. When it comes specifically to the what you see on the balance sheet, you know, that was mainly the mark-to-market that we used to have. Just to remind you that the full cross-currency swaps that we have for the 2019, the strike prices are at 14.50 pesos per dollar, whereas the 2023, the strike price was at 18.89. So we have used to have a massive mark-to-market in those lines. Now, what we experienced for the first time, you know, given the value that, the, you know, that at its lowest, the peso reached at something like 1760 or something like that, you know, we had the opposite effects on the valuation of those, we had the opposite effect on the mark-to-market specifically and on the valuation of the derivatives. And that you get to see it, if you go to the liability side, you get to see one different line, the 274.4 pesos during this quarter, under the line securities and derivatives transaction. Now we have the opposite, you know, the opposite of what we have on the mark-to-market. Now we have on the asset side, now we have this amount, almost 275 million on the liability side due to the fluctuations of the FX.
All right. Now it's very clear. So in the next quarter, if the depreciation of the currency continues, then we should see, for instance, a negative result related to the your derivative position.
Yes, we should see a reversal of the effect that you've seen right now.
Okay.
But
all right.
At the current level, I mean, the way we see at the current level shouldn't be that material, but hard to say.
Okay, no, it's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you. With no further questions in the queue, the question and answer session concludes. Thank you for being in today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.